everything turn, turn, turn. There is a season turn.
All right. That music means it's time. Garden Conversation is coming up. Garden Conversation is underwritten by the bookstore, selling new and used books, cards, and art supplies on Main Street in Haines from 11 to 5, Tuesday through Saturday. You can reach them at 766 and online at HainesBookstore.com. Joined on the phone this morning with Melissa Aronson. Hi. And Blythe Carter. Hi.
Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning, Joni. How are you?
Well, I'm here.
Okay. Well, good morning, Blythe, and welcome back to the Garden Conversation.
Yay.
Thank you.
Yeah, yay, yay. A few weeks ago, maybe a month or so, my guest was Burl Sheldon, and he gave us some background on the Orchard Project.
Mm-hmm.
And a significant and locally very useful part of that project is the handbook that you've researched and put together. Tell us a little bit about how the handbook came to be and what's in it and so on. I just pulled it up on my computer, and it's amazing.
Well, thank you. Yeah, it's a collaboration between Burl and myself with input from Rob Bishop, Ed Byarsky, and the late Michael Phillips, along with a lot of other people. And it's basically a compilation of my research and experiences over the last 10 or so years, a lot of trial and error. It goes over how to plant trees, the trees that do best here, the different requirements. It's just got a lot of information there, really good for local people and people in Southeast Alaska to read and figure out what they want to plant and how.
Whoop, are you there?
Can you hear me?
I can't hear Blythe.
Uh-oh. Well, I can hear Blythe just fine.
Okay. All right, well.
Technology. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, so I'm here. You can't hear me. I can be heard on the radio, but Melissa can't hear me.
Well, I can hear you now.
Okay, good, good, good. All right.
Okay, Blythe, you might want to back away a little bit from the phone.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. All right. Is that a little better?
Yeah.
Okay, perfect.
That's better. Yeah, well, Blythe, I am always impressed by the research that you do. And just looking at the table of contents here, you've got a really good piece on site selection and temperatures. And kind of the reality check of whether or not people could actually grow something on their property, looking at varieties and choosing the right kind of trees, planting, the nutrition piece, kind of the list of best fruit for our areas, preparing for winter. Aha!
Yes. Important part right now, right?
Right, yeah. And piece on electric fencing, and the whole thing is like 29 pages long.
Yes.
So that was a lot of work.
It certainly was. For a list of the best apples and plums and sweet cherries, sour cherries, all that kind of stuff, you can download that handbook online at the Chilkat Valley Historical Society's website. The address is kind of convoluted, but you can just type in growing fruit trees in the Chilkat Valley into Google. You'll get a direct link. Will just pop up. Otherwise, you just go to the Chilkat Valley Orchard Project and look under resources, and it's right there.
Okay, yeah. So I just typed in the growing fruit trees in the Chilkat Valley.
Yep.
And it was right there. So.
Yes, yeah, it pops right up. So, that's nice. The biggest discoveries in there that I find the most significant over the years that I've discovered is the actual something that's called chill hours. Fruit trees and other plants in general require a certain number of hours between the temperatures of 35 and 45. And the problem with this is that we get those temperatures early in the year. And normally, this year, we've got most of those temperatures already. and those hours. And for a little reference, it's about 400 hours equals about 16 days. And what these chill hours, how the chill hours are worked by the plant is that that's the temperature they need before they come out of dormancy. So during our freeze-thaw cycles, when it warms up for a long period of time, those plants think, oh, it's time to wake up and come out of dormancy and bud. Then our temperatures drop back down to 5 degrees, and it kills the plant. And so this is why a lot of, even like roses, you'll get a rose that's rated for Fairbanks. It should be fine in Fairbanks, and yet it dies here. And that's why.
Okay,
so so when you're doing research for fruit trees, for any kind of plant, try and find out what the chill hours are. And it does vary between different cultivars, but it'll give you a good general idea as to whether or not that plant will make it here.
Okay, because sometimes in the middle of winter, that's very interesting, in the middle of winter sometimes we will get this weird warm-up.
Mm-hmm.
That'll happen, and you know we've had it, it'll shoot up to 50 degrees.
Yes.
People get all excited because there's buds on trees and bushes and things, and then wham.
Yes, exactly.
Here we go, and the temperature drops down, and the buds all freeze, and now the plant has put a lot of energy into those buds, and now they're gone.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. And so
certain plants are adapted, you know, a lot of our native plants are adapted to be able to handle that, but the ones we bring in just can't.
Okay.
So, yeah. Now, apples and a lot of plums and cherries, they all have over 1,000 hours that they need to accumulate. And there is also something called heat units that also affect that, but it's very complicated and too complicated to go into a discussion here. But it also tells the plant when to wake up, too. But, again, they're very low for those items that are, you know, those plants that low chill also.
Okay, so the heat units, now does that have something to do with ripening?
No, the heat units, there's a different, actually it does apply to ripening also. But it also applies to how much warmth they require to actually say, oh, wake up and start growing. And apple trees, for instance, have a very, they need a lot of heat units before they'll actually wake up, whereas something like an Asian plum or a Asian pear or something like that has very few, and so it doesn't require much warmth for it to start waking up too. So there's a delicate balance between those two things, which is again very complicated, and heat units aren't as known as well as the chill hours.
Okay, and you have this all explained very well in the handbook.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah, and it is definitely complicated.
It is. But if you get something that's got high chill requirements, that's what you're looking for, then generally speaking, you'll also get the high heat units that it requires too, as far as waking up.
Okay.
So are those, when you look through a catalog, are those talked about, the high heat and chill and all that?
Yeah, sometimes they are. And normally they're toted as something that's really good, something that requires low chill hours. Because if you live in, like, California and you want an apple tree that does well, they don't get a lot of chill hours. They don't have the weather just is really nice, so they don't get the hours that they require. So if they have a fruit tree that requires very low chill hours, then that's going to get the what they need in their short, quote-unquote, winter. and then wake up and still flower. Because the tree actually requires those chill hours in order to wake up and produce buds and flower and all that kind of stuff. And they don't have that, then it won't do that. It'll just sit there dormant and never do anything and eventually die.
Right.
But for us, it's the opposite problem. Low chill hours is bad because we get so many of them.
Okay. So in your paper that you wrote, in your booklet that you wrote, are those trees that you have in there, are they targeted to our area?
Yes, okay. They're all targeted. Yeah, all the varieties are targeted and proven. The ones that are listed in the cultivars and varieties and whatnot in the back. And so those are like the proven ones. So you know those are good. If you want a safe bet, go for one of those or two, depending on what your requirements are there, because some need cross-pollination. Another thing that I have learned, and a lot of other people have learned when they first started out with fruit trees, is not to choose them by name recognition. The ones that you find in the store most often are not going to do well here. For instance, if you're going out and buying a cherry tree, Bing, Rainier, they'll grow here and they'll actually even produce fruit, but they ripen at a time when there's a lot of rain and they're not very crack resistant, so they crack like crazy.
Crack and mold.
Yes, exactly. So you get a fruit that's only partially ripe. You have to use it right away. And, you know, it's just not a very, you know, nice experience as far as that goes. Versus something like a Kristen or an early burlap, which I'm sure you've probably never heard of in the store. I certainly have never seen anything like that in the store. Those do really well here. They're really good as far as crack resistance. They ripen earlier, so they miss most of our rainy weather, and they're delicious. The same goes with apples. You know, most of the time, most Honeycrisps are not going to work out here in most yards because they require a lot of sun exposure. And, you know, the Fuji and the, you know, all those ones that are so popular, Macintosh apples and whatnot, they, again, ripen way too late. So go ahead and make sure you do your research or you know, go into the back of this pan book and discover which varieties do well here.
Yeah, it takes about 5 years, doesn't it, to start getting fruit off of trees?
Mostly, yeah. If you're managing them correctly and pruning and not letting them set fruit too early, because that can be really damaging to the tree's health, then, yeah, it's about 5 years before you'll expect any sort of significant harvest.
Yeah, and so that's a really important reason why you want to do research, because you don't want to lose 5 years trying to grow something that didn't produce.
Exactly.
Right, that never actually ripens. Yeah, that's just sad, right?
Yeah, very sad, yeah. So where are some places that you can get the trees that will be successful here?
So there are some local vendors. You can get it from Gomi's Garden and White Rock. I'm not sure what White Rock's doing this coming year, but White Rock, if they do have them. Otherwise, you can go and look at some nurseries down south. These include Rain Tree, Burnt Ridge Nursery, One Green World, Fedco Trees. They're also really good. And the other thing is to order soon. Many of the, especially the rare varieties, will be sold out by January. So, yeah, you want to get your order in early.
Okay.
Because, again, think down south, most people are getting their orders in February, March, or April. And so they're planting them right now. So, you know, need to get those orders in quickly.
Okay. And then when should they be planted here?
So, again, they're going to be, the nurseries will be shipping out in May. And so that's the best time to plant for us. Some nurseries will ship during fall. But that doesn't work because normally by the time they get here, they don't ship out until late October. And, you know, look outside. That's what the weather is. The trees just aren't gonna do well if it's cooperating enough not to freeze at the time.
Yeah. So we're down to the last couple of minutes, Blythe. What should people that have fruit trees in, what should they be doing right now?
Right now, tie those trees up against the weather. You can put a teepee around them to protect them from the heavy snow. You can, you know, through the summer, the best thing is to make sure they're pruned well and maintained, and have a fence as a barrier so that moose don't get in there and eat your trees during the winter.
Okay, yeah, because they like those a lot.
They do love to chow down.
Yeah, yeah. So do your research, right?
Yes, research, yeah. Research, yes.
Yeah, and any other final advice you would give?
Just to, you know, enjoy that research, too. Look into it, see what all this different stuff that you can get, and just enjoy it. That's
okay.
The big thing. You know, what's the point of gardening and getting fruit out of your yard if you're not going to enjoy it all?
Yeah, it's like the Christmas catalog.
Yeah.
That you enjoyed as a kid. Yeah. Shop.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So
anticipation's half the fun, right?
Right, right. So once again, you can Google in growing fruit trees in the Chilkat Valley. And the handbook will come right up, and it's free, and it's 29 pages long, and it's amazing piece of work, Blythe. Thank you for all that you did there. Wow, I'm impressed.
Thank you.
Okay, well, thank you, Blythe, and thank you, Joni.
Thank you.
And
have a great day.
Yes, okay. You too.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
That was Melissa Aronson and Blythe Carter for The Garden Conversation, heard every Thursday morning here on your community radio station, KHNS Haynes, Clukwan, and Skagway. It's 9 o'clock, and that means it's time for the community calendar, which is brought to you by Canal Marine and Auto at 704 Union Street, Outboard Marine, Steel Equipment, Auto Repair, and Tire Swap, Mount and Balance. Open 9 to 5:30 Monday through Friday at 766-2437. Happy birthdays today on this November 3rd. Go out to Blake Perry, Rosalind May Malasina, and happy anniversary to Joe Ordonez and Edie Granger, Rocky and Ricky Hahn, and Ken and Wendy Burnham. So today, happening in Haynes and Clukwan, there's Intermediate Tai Chi at 9:30 at the Chilkat Center. Strength and Stretch, 10 a.m. in the Chilkat Center. Haynes Sheldon Museum will be open from 10 a.m. until 4. The Haynes Public Library is open 10 a.m. until 7. Ports and Harbor Advisory Committee will meet at 10:30 in Assembly Chambers and over Zoom. Tykes and Trikes, 10:15 in the Elementary School Gym. Tai Chi for Seniors, 11 a.m. at the Chilkat Center. Animal Tracker Club is at 3 o'clock this afternoon in the school library. Tomorrow in Haynes, the pool opens with a lap swim at 6 a.m., aqua aerobics at 8:30. Advanced Tai Chi is at 9:30 in the Chilkat Center. The Haynes Sheldon Museum opens at 10 a.m. The library opens at 10 a.m. with a story time at 11. The Haynes